Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith, and I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School, La Mirada. And thanks for joining us here at Solid Ground. And today, Pastor Brian continues his week-long study focusing on the spiritual gift of teaching. Today, Pastor Brian starts off by stating the need of hearers of the Word to get their own hearts right before God so that they can take in what is being taught. If you would like to follow along, turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And now let's go to Calvary Chapel, La Mirada, and Pastor Brian Parrish.
Our hearts are evil and corrupt. There's envy, jealousy. We need to make sure that our speech brings edification and grace to those who hear. That is so crucial in our day and age, and I think that we've taken that too lightly, that gossip just isn't that big of a deal. May the Holy Spirit bring conviction upon our hearts. So that's happening. Your heart's not right to receive God's word as you come in here. But you set those things aside, and there's a repentance, there's a humility. And part of, you know, this prayer that we have before Wednesday night is to set our hearts aright. Maybe God's going to be saying, hey, get your heart right before you start worshiping me. And he's going to deal with those issues. And then as we worship, there's a true worship in sincerity, but then also there's a desiring of the work, of the milk of the word, that you would grow. And he's not saying that desire the simple things of the Bible here. He's saying, he's using an illustration just as a baby, as a newborn baby desires milk. That's the same way that we should desire God's word. And those babies, they don't care what time it is, do they? When they want milk, they want it. If it's at 3 o'clock in the morning, they don't care if you're tired or sleepy. They're going to cry out until they get that milk, aren't they? And as husbands, we just kind of roll over and we pretend like we didn't hear that cry. But as a newborn babe who absolutely depends upon that for their life, that's what God is saying. It's mandatory that there's a setting aside of sin first. And James says the same thing at James chapter 1, if you'd turn in there with me. One book back there. James chapter 1, verse 21. He says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. See again the setting aside of sin, then the turning with a humility to receive the word of God. God, what is it you want to speak to me? Maybe you have been having a problem with evil speaking or slander and gossip. That's the Holy Spirit wanting to bust you and say, no, don't do that anymore. Don't harden your heart towards that. That's a convicting work of the Spirit of God. Don't resist that. Because he goes on to say in verse 23, don't be a hearer of the word only. It's like a man that looks in the mirror and he forgets what he looks like. He goes away. And if you look in the mirror and something's wrong with you, you fix it. That's what the word of God sometimes is, a giant mirror, and the word of God's absolutely pure, and it's going to bring a conviction of hearts. And so we set aside that and say, Lord, I repent of that. Then I'm able to receive with a humility that word, and it's implanted into my life deep. It goes deep down into my heart, and it's going to produce a rich crop. So that's your responsibility in the aspect of the Word of God. If you will do that, God will work in you in a greater way than if there's a hardness of heart or a disinterest in the Scriptures and the Word of God. And it wouldn't matter if Jesus Christ himself was here preaching. If you had a hard heart, you wouldn't respond. And that's what happened. I mean, imagine that God himself came down here and preached. The God-man, Jesus Christ, gave sermons that are the word of God, that are true, and people rejected it. That's why he'd often say, who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God has to say. He says that in the book of Revelation to the churches. You have to have ears to hear. Those are the ones that hear. And so in a church service, there's some people that are receiving the word of God and it's being implanted deep in their heart. And there's others that are at a church service, maybe having some degree of impact, depending on where their heart's at. And so that's why the apostle said, we're going to give ourselves continually to the word of God and prayer. And I pray, Lord, you speak to people. You soften the heart. You prepare the heart. And I know people are going to be coming in here rushing from work or from dinner or from whatever. God, prepare them as they're on their way and soften their hearts, and let's have a time where you are honored and that people are ready to receive God's word. Let's look at number four, the priority of God's Word. And go with me over to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want to look at the priority of God's Word in contrast to human experience. Second Peter chapter 1, really verses 16 through 21. This is really a very powerful section where Peter is going to describe the experiences that he had, but yet he says there's something greater than even those experiences that he had as an apostle. Verse 16 says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables, when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." So he's saying here, we didn't get this message from somebody else. We saw the Lord directly. We saw his majesty. We're eyewitnesses. "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" What an awesome privilege to be able to hear God's voice. So Peter was an eyewitness of the Lord, saw him for 3 years, saw him raise the dead, open the eyes of the blind, and then he heard God's voice from heaven speak, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That was on that Mount of Transfiguration. Remember when Peter was there and John, and they saw the Lord, his body transform and radiate with glory, and then Peter, as he often did, made the wrong statement, saying, "Lord, let us build some other booths for Elijah as well." That's when God the Father rebuked him and said, "No, this is my beloved Son. You know, listen to him. He's the one that I am well pleased in." Then it said that Peter fell asleep. I mean, how could you fall asleep when the glory of God is... So I don't feel as bad when people fall asleep in church here. I did have one pastor give me some advice. He said, if someone falls asleep in your service over and over again, he says, the next time they come up to you and ask a question to you, go like this. And say, "How does it feel?" But we won't go into that. Verse 18. "And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." But then he says, "But we also have the prophetic word made more sure," or I like the translation, which I have in my margin as well, "which is more sure than what we heard." So he says, we have the prophetic word which is more authoritative, or which is more trustworthy than even what we heard and saw. So what Peter is doing here is elevating the Word of God even above the tremendous experiences that he had of seeing the Lord, of hearing God's voice. He says, there's something that I have that's even more sure than my experience, because my experience could deceive me, is a prophetic word. And then he says to them, he exhorts them, he says, "What you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. And how long do you do that? Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." So until the Lord comes back, you'll do well if you heed God's word above any experience that you may have with the Lord. Experience is not the final authority. And I believe that's where some churches have made the mistake of allowing things that are extra-biblical in their services and then proclaiming that it's the Holy Spirit, and then blaming it on the Holy Spirit. And some of these experiences are getting weirder and weirder. I do not make it a habit anymore of watching Channel 40, because you see strange things on there. Especially before I go to bed at night, I get all worked up. But my wife forced me to watch something the other night, and it was Benny Hinn. And he had some really scary things that was going on. Not only was it his hairdo that was scary, but it was what he was saying. He said that when I'm under the anointing, that means when he's preaching under God, he says, my words cannot fall, meaning they cannot fail. Jesus said it's the word of God that cannot be broken. There's a difference between the preached word, which needs to be analyzed, that comes from man, and the word of God. And then he started bringing curses down upon people, anyone that would speak against him. Curses and blessings. And I think he's taking the place of God, and that, to me, that's scary. And the voices that he was using that was coming out, to me, if I didn't know who he was and just heard this voice, it sounded demonic. I don't even know how to repeat it. I don't even want to repeat it. It was scary to me what was going on. But I saw the biggest crowd of people that I've ever seen live on a TV that were crowded to listen to this man. And people will say, well, the anointing was there and so-and-so got healed. Well, thank God for that. God will honor faith. I believe that. And God could use even a donkey to preach his word, and God can use things that are not holy to bring about his work. Judas was one that went out and preached. Judas was one that went out and worked miracles with the other apostles, but Jesus said, you were unclean from the beginning. And the devil entered him, so you can't go on experience. The last day says that there's going to be many false Christs are going to rise up, and if possible, they'll deceive even the elect, because these miracles are going to be so authentic looking. And it says that the Antichrist is going to do lying signs and wonders, and he's going to deceive people because people are going to be going on experience rather than analyzing what someone teaches based on the Word of God. And then the other night, Benny Hinn was on there again, and I actually listened to him, and I said to my wife, I said, this is the first time that I've ever listened to him where I haven't got upset, and he's actually made some things that were sensible. And literally right after that, he says, I have this tape series for you. It's on demons. And I thought, oh, I know he's going to say something hokey here. He says, send in for this tape because demons are not fallen angels. He goes, I got your attention. And I thought, you're right. You are true about that. He says, they are a pre-Adamic race that was wiped out in the flood. Those are demons. I'm like, where does he get these things? But he's peddling it as the Word of God. But people are going to listen to him because he's quote-unquote Benny Hinn. And his book, Good Morning Holy Spirit, was one of the best sellers in a lot of Christian bookstores. And if you ask somebody, you know, what do you think about Ben? Oh, well, he's anointed by God and miracles happen. And they validate his ministry based on what he does rather than on what he teaches about Christ. And he is the one that came up with the idea that there's 9 members of the Trinity. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, each one has a body, soul, and spirit. He's also the one that said Adam first gave birth as a man out of the side. And that he could swim like a fish underwater and he could fly to the moon. Because the Bible says that he was to have dominion, and so in order to have dominion, you had to be better than everybody else. You had to be better than the fish, better than the birds, better than the woman, and was able to give birth. And people clamor after this man. I don't understand it. And I do. It's because they are clamoring after experience and not holding everybody and everything accountable to God's word. I mean, seriously, if I stood up here tonight and said, the Lord's given me a revelation, there's 9 people in the Trinity, hopefully you would leave. Hopefully you'd know enough to say, that's it, he is finally.